Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we had a very interesting conversation with our panel. Well, first we started off talking about the lies that partners have told to their other partners. Yeah, such as, you know, they were on a trip and they were supposed to be in one place, but yet they were really in another place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go out like that. And, woo! If you didn't hear the conversation yesterday between Pastor Jeff, Pastor KL, and Shantice, you need to go back and listen. Oh, my goodness. Woo-wee. You know, it did. It started off with, you know, telling lies to, you know, your partner. And then it was, you know, not being able to shake, you know, people off your coattail. And, wow. I mean, wow. I was blown away. I gotta tell you. You know, Pastor Jeff, you know, I always tell you, Pastor Jeff has the best story. And yesterday, we had the best three storytellers on the Due Time crew. You know, so we really got some stories. But the one that came out yesterday, not only that, we were able to, again, get some, some advice from the men. And, you know, they went back into their former lives and told us some stories about the things that they have done. And, woo! Well, here's the thing that I enjoyed about yesterday. You know, when I asked the gentleman, you know, how do you feel about the things that you've done in the past? They did say that they were remorseful, that they felt bad, that they, you know, wanted to, you know, if they could go back and change some things, they did, you know, they would. You know, we talked about, you know, Pastor Jeff, who said, you know, well, if I could, you know, I've run into some women who I have not been very nice to in the past. And if I had my way, I would, you know, go and hug them and, you know, tell them that I'm sorry and, you know, let them know how bad I feel, you know, if I had the opportunity. And, you know, someone mentioned yesterday that, you know, they weren't necessarily forgiven, you know, and that's a huge thing to be able to see that you've done something wrong and want to apologize, but not being able to apologize. Yeah. And, you know, forgiveness is a big thing. Forgiveness is a big thing. You know, people say that, you know, you forgive, you know, not for the other people, but for you. You forgive for you. And, you know, it's a lot. I'm trying to apologize, but not being able to. You know, it's not that simple to be able to, you know, to want to apologize to someone who doesn't really want to hear from you. You know, that's kind of hard. And when someone's trying to apologize, you don't want to make it difficult. You don't want to make it difficult for someone to apologize, because you're going to have to apologize one day. Yeah. You're going to want to be, you know, something that you really mean, and that ain't going to happen. You know, somebody's going to be sitting there looking all up in the air and twisting their lips and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And that ain't fun. No fun. So, you know, just make sure that, you know, if God is working on someone to apologize, you want to make sure that you give them the opportunity to do so. Because when you don't give a person an opportunity to apologize, don't think that is that easy for you. Okay? All right. I'm just, you know, just a little word of advice from Pastor Steph. You know, I was listening to the men yesterday, and, you know, I'm sure after all this time, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's something for them to think about. You know, when you've done some of the stuff that they've talked about here, that they've admitted here, and, you know, God has touched their hearts after, you know, all this time, or over the course of time, I should say, to apologize and want to express that, then, you know, it may not be you that they're trying to apologize to, but think about it. Just think about it. If you were, you know, feeling bad and God had touched your heart, if you wanted to run into a level of difficulty, if, you know, what you would want to feel. Okay? All right. Well, today is Wow Wednesday, everybody. Oh, it's halfway through the week, and I don't know about you, but not only am I surprised, because we are really almost out of the month, for real. We're almost out of this month. This week is already flying by, and this is going to be going, and I'm happy. That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say. I want to say I am so happy this week is flying by. I need an extra few hours of rest, and I will be taking it. Okay? All right. So, how'd you wake up this morning? Well, I'm telling you, I've got a topic. I don't know what Vivian has got ready and in store for us, but I'm telling you that I've got some kind of story. And, you know, if you listen to the ladies on Fridays, they had a conversation on last Friday's show that this particular story that I came across just might be, you know, it walks right into it. I have to say, it walks right into it. And I've got an extended, you know, conversation to go along with it. So I don't know what Vivian is going to get us started with this morning, but I tell you, I know it's going to be some stuff, and we are going to have a great follow-up conversation. So I am so looking forward to getting this morning started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Hello, I'm Pierre Abese of Union Bank. Diversity is one of our most closely held values. This is why we're proud to honor local heroes in celebration of Disability Awareness Month. Let's meet one of our honorees.
My name is Al Kovac, and I am the Senior Vice President of Paralyzed Veterans of America. Imagine being a very able-bodied, healthy person and then waking up the next day completely paralyzed. So the Paralyzed Veterans of America will come to your bedside when they find out you're there. And they will take care of your housing benefits, monthly compensation, and they will guarantee that you will get health care for the rest of your life. Especially when you're brand new injury, you need to have that family there. When I'm engaged in sports, it seems like people seem to want to ask more questions about my disability. It's almost like an awareness program on wheels. I love serving my country as a Navy SEAL, but I also love serving my country in a wheelchair.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. I'm so excited because we're halfway through the week. By the grace of God, He has brought us through, y'all. And we are underway. So in a second, we're going to get our girl Vivian on with us and see what she's got for the Culturally Conscious segment. Let's say good morning to our girl Vivian. Where is she? Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Good, good, good. You know what I always ask you? what you got for us today.
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off with an update. New York City will be moving forward with the plan to give migrant families debit cards loaded with cash to buy food and baby supplies. They said that although the pilot program did face a lot of criticism, before it was even rolled out, they are indeed moving forward. They say using a company called MoCaFi, the city will initially hand out cards to 115 families staying in hotels by next week. Approximately 460 migrants, including many children, will be fed by the city in this manner. City Hall said a family of four with two children under the age of 5 years old will get $350 loaded onto their card weekly. The pilot program is expected to last 6 weeks, and the plan is to expand the program after working out any issues that may be flagged by data from the pilot. Since the more than $53 million emergency purchase contract with the New Jersey-based MoCaFi was announced, people are sharing their concerns about the potential for waste and fraud. So they're saying that they will be testing this out for the next 6 weeks and then ironing out any bumps and hiccups that come along, and then they will be continuing on with this program after that. Speaking of money, our next story is about Dollar Tree price increase. Everybody is talking about it. I have so many people send me this story. They are raising their prices to a minimum of $1.50 and a maximum of $7. Dollar Tree Inc. announced it will be adding hundreds of new items to its store shelves, but that comes at a higher cost. This comes after Dollar Tree announced that they would be closing thousands of Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores nationwide because Dollar Tree now owns Family Dollar. Dollar Tree plans to close about 600 Family Dollar stores in the first half of this year and 370 Family Dollars and 30 Dollar Trees over the next several years. So not only are their prices going up, but it may be a little harder for you to find a Dollar Tree and or Family Dollar in your neighborhood as so many of them will be closing. So I want to know, do you love Dollar Tree that much that you would travel a little further and pay the increase in prices? Let me know. Lastly, in terms of moolah, we are talking about former President Trump. Trump released a video on his social media platform on Tuesday urging his supporters to buy the, quote, God Bless the USA Bible, end quote, which is inspired by country singer Lee Greenwood's patriotic ballad. Trump takes the stage to this song at each of his rallies and has appeared with Greenwood at events. He was found in the video saying, quote, "Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again. As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible," end quote. Trump is asking his supporters to go to his website and buy this God Bless the USA Bible for $59.99. He says, "All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book." Trump said in the video posted on Truth Social, "I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again." system. The effort comes as Trump has faced a series of money crunch amid mounting legal bills while he fights four criminal indictments along with a series of civil charges. Trump was given a reprieve on Monday when a New York appeals court agreed to hold off on collecting the more than $454 million he owes following a civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million within the next 10 days. So they're trying to work with him on paying these now debts that he owes based off of all these legal problems that he's going through. Trump has recently posted a $92 million bond in connection with the defamation thesis brought by the writer E. Jean Carroll, who accused Trump of sexual assault. So he has been having to dish out money like never before, and now he wants his people to buy the God Bless the USA Bible for $59.99. And our final story for today is MTA is saying the NYPD will deploy hundreds of cops into dozens of New York City subway stations this week as part of an ongoing effort to combat fare evasion. Operation, quote, Fair Play, end quote, will be a five-day initiative to crack down on turnstile jumpers and other fare evaders at strategic subway locations in the five boroughs. According to the NYPD, approximately 800 uniformed and plainclothes cops will patrol the stations this week. Officials say so far this year, 1,700 fare evaders have been arrested and 28,000 others were given summonses, according to the NYPD. And with that comes the news that over 100 high-definition LCD screens will be installed on MTA buses in an aim to make buses safer. MTA officials announced this also on Monday. The security monitor screen pilot program hopes to enhance safety on buses, deter crime, and provide evidence to law enforcement. The agency said the screens will continuously live stream video feeds from existing buses with these security cameras. The buses will be equipped with security screens, and they will be deployed on routes that have the highest rates of assaults and misdemeanors that threaten the safety of operators and customers, they say. The senior vice president of buses says, we are committed to doing everything we can do to ensure a safe and reliable ride for both our bus operators and customers, end quote. So the screen installation is expected to be completed this year, and the pilot program will run through the beginning of next year. Mm-mm-mm. And in honor of Women's History Month, today we honor Cicely Tyson. Cicely Tyson was born in Harlem, New York City, where she was raised by her devoutly religious parents who came from the Caribbean islands. Tyson was discovered by a fashion editor at Ebony Magazine, and with her stunning looks, she quickly rose to the top of the modeling industry. And then in 1957, she began acting in off-Broadway productions, which jump-started her acting career. Cicely Tyson was the first African-American actress to win an Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Television Movie for her performance in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman back in 1974. Miss Tyson won a Tony Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role in a Play for The Trip to Bountiful in 2013. making her the oldest person ever to win an acting Tony. Ms. Tyson's acting career is said to have taken off at the age of 42 years old, and she continued acting even in her 90s, as one of her last roles she played was in the A Fall from Grace, where she was 95 years old. Cicely Tyson was known for only taking roles where she portrayed strong images of women. She would refuse any role that did not portray her as such. Ms. Tyson passed away on January 28th of 2021 at the age of 96 years old. And she contributed her long life to her vegetarian diet. So this month, this week, we honor Cicely Tyson. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is VivianBM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian, for our socially conscious story. You're going to hang around with us as we are missing our elder Nitesha this morning. Maybe she'll jump on with us. And she's just a little bit behind. But we'll be happy to have you in our round. So, let's start chatting. Where's our girl, Lady Tamika? Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, our ladies, and of course our listeners. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
It's a wonderful Wednesday here, so I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Well, they said they were going to do it, and they are now moving forward with this $53 million on these cards that will go to the migrants. They will get $350 a week on these cards for 6 weeks. And what do you think about that?
So I don't have to do anything to acquire it. I don't, you know, I can just wake up in the morning and boom, bing, you know, it shows up on these cards, you know. But here's the thing, you know, you got people who were born here who are doing everything they can. They have a job, they're trying to take care of things. You know, they're living this life and it's stressful. And within a moment's notice, then, you know, at times their resources are removed from them, you know, for the slightest thing, you know. And I'm just like, you know, we who were born here have to walk through hoops just to get the extra. If I make a penny more than what you consider is the allotted, I get nothing. So I have to struggle. You know, there are situations that we know of where people are trying to figure out, okay, do I save money for food or do I get medication? So food is paramount. I need to live. So I'll just be without my medication and suffer. You know, so I just, again, you know, we keep putting the cart behind or before the horse and expecting it to move, you know, and that's a long time with a lot of money, you know, and it just keeps telling you, it keeps showing you, you know, we have been told for years prior to the pandemic, there's no more money, there's no more resources, you can't do this, you can't do that, there's not enough resources, not enough funds, and you keep showing us that, oh, by the way, I got this in my pocket. I got this in my back pocket. This is in my sneaker. This is in my purse. You know, there are just different ways that you keep showing us what we think we have. We have so much more. because and you're showing us every day by providing resources and areas. And I'm not saying that, you know, it can't. I just think that the resources could be used more wisely, you know, especially considering the fact that we've seen so many things that transpire with some of the migrants, not all of them.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for joining us today and getting us jump-started in this conversation. Let's see what our girl Shantice has to say about it. Shantice, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. Like I said to Lady Tamika, they've threatened, and now they have fulfilled. They are going to start to put, what, $350 on a card for these families for up to 6 weeks. And what's your thought?
I was so disgusted listening to this. And it has a lot to do with what Lady Tamika just said. You know, the amount of people that out here who are from here who really need the food assistance, really could use the help. But because I make 0.1% too much, I can't get it. And now I have to struggle because when you look at my numbers on paper, according to you, I don't need it. And y'all, it's like y'all keep putting yourselves in a position to where you can never say, we don't have it. We don't have the money. We don't have the money. Yes, you do. And this is how you're choosing to spend it. And it's, you're not even saying, you know, which would still be saying the same thing, but, you know, like, okay, we have the migrants set up here and we have food being sent there. You're giving it to them on a cart, like the same way we should be getting it. It's just like, how many different ways are you trying to insult us, but yet you don't want to hear our mouths. You don't want to hear, it's like you still want the respect, but yet you just keep spitting in everyone's face. Like that, that's just how I see it. It's disgusting.
Mm.
It's like a little bit in the face. Like, oh, no, I'm not, if I have a benefit card already, I'm not putting more money on your card. Or if I don't have one, I'm not giving you a card. But I'll take this card and I'll give it to them. And it's like, what? Yeah, it's, this is horrible.
Okay. Vivian. What's your thought?
This, everybody said it already. This is ridiculous. $350 a week is crazy because we ain't getting that a week. We, people who are on, you know, public assistance get monthly stipends. They don't get weekly. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And hopefully they come out with the right system to keep these people from being robbed for these cards, because that's the first thing that came to my mind, because that's a lot of money for two people and two children. Like, and I remember when I was getting medical insurance from them, that was a feat for me to get that. And as soon as, I mean, the second I no longer qualified, they were quick to snatch that away. They were quick to snatch that away from me. And they're just handing out money to these people. That, this is sad. This is absolutely sad.
You know, I did the math. So you're talking $2,100 a month to this family. Now, They're giving weekly because the concept is they don't have, they're living in hotels and they don't have you know, I guess kitchens and all kinds of things. Okay. I think I go to where you ladies go to, but the operative word for me is insult that Shanti's used. I think it's a major insult. All you ladies have said it in one way or another. To actually have an elderly individual, single people who are struggling and they're trying to make ends meet, to tell them no, that's a slap in the face. To tell mm-hmm. them no after they have contributed, their taxes are paying our taxes, because I'm sorry, yes, I get Social Security, but I pay taxes. And my tax, your tax, is going toward the elderly people who are now getting Social Security. They've paid taxes. You know, everybody's struggling. And for you to tell anyone no at this point, anyone know, you might as well let the floodgates open and give to everybody. Lower their money and give to everybody. You can't tell me you have sympathy for anybody when you don't have sympathy for the homegrown individual. This makes no sense to me. So, like everyone has already said, you know, this here is ludicrous. You know, you lose your argument when you say we have no money. You lose your argument when you tell anyone no because they make too much money. And like Vivian, I remember quite a few years ago, my income was low enough where I got a supplement to my Medicare. And like she said, when they gave us that $5 increase at the top of the year, man, they couldn't wait to send me my letter to say, we're sorry, you get that benefit no more, despite the fact that because Medicare doesn't pick up everything. But it doesn't matter. And I think that's the whole thing. There's nowhere in the world that the American people are not going to feel a slap in the face. And the sad part about it is because it makes us appear as though we're not sympathetic or understanding. Well, considering that you don't have to be here, nah, I ain't all that sympathetic. So I'm sorry. I don't know about how anybody else feels about that part, but nah, you lose my sympathy when you come over here trying to get what I'm getting, and I'm being told no and you're being told yes. So, oh, well, I ain't feeling too sorry for you. Anyhow, Dollar Tree. We're going to have to change the name, Viv. We can't call it Dollar Tree any longer because it ain't been a dollar in a minute. So, Shanti's, we're talking $1.52, $7, based on what the item is, as well as you may not even find a Dollar Tree where it used to be. What's your thought? Does it matter? Vivian wants to know, is, you know, it doesn't matter to you that much?
Well, they need to stop, because I don't even be checking for Dollar Tree like that. So now you're raising your prices as if you're getting better quality merchandise. Like, you have dollar quality stuff there. So why are you now raising the price as if you're saying, it would be 100% understandable if they said, listen, we're changing the trajectory of the franchise of the store. We no longer have these, we now have these. Instead of this type of wrapping paper, we now have this type of wrapping paper. Instead of this type of these type of dishes, we now have this. I didn't hear anything about a switch up in the appeal of your items. So what are you, and where's the money going to? Because it definitely ain't going to getting more cashiers, because there's always only one cashier in there. So the money, I doubt, is going to hire someone else to check people out so they can buy the dollar quality merchandise. What is the money going towards? The Dollar Tree over here by us you're not hiring a janitor because it is, that parking lot is always filthy. So now you're raising the prices. You're raising the prices for me to still walk up to this dirty Dollar Tree that still only has the dollar quality items. Like, what are we doing in life right now? I don't know. People need to go take some naps.
All righty. Vivian.
This is another slap in the face, because who is really supporting Dollar Tree? It's people on our side of the fence. You don't see nobody from the other side of the fence really in those stores like that. So we've been supporting you. We've been loyal to you. We've been pretty much, you know, carrying you to the point to where you're making enough to now buy other franchises. That's crazy to me. And the thanks we get is $7 for a dollar quality products. That's absolutely insane. Because when I go up in there, it's only but a certain type of things that I would even dare to get from there, because their stuff is not good. Their stuff is not good. So for you to now be charging people $1.50 to $7, that's crazy. That's crazy.
No. Ooh, all right, Lady Tamika. You fishing around for a Dollar Tree?
Well, you mean the new Five Below is what you're referring to, right? You know, that's what
Five
I'm
Below
seeing. It has, you know, even with, from what I know, you know, I have been in the store and I bought something and then she's going $50. I'm like, $50? What did I buy? Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, the running joke a long time ago when you went into the store was like, how much does it cost? You know, and back then, 99 really meant 99. You know, you go in the store and you assume because it's a dollar store that that item is a dollar. You get to the register. She's like, 15, what? Say what? You know, and I have, you know, every Dollar Tree, every Family Dollar, and it's not just in New York. I've been other places, and I'm like, but, you know, it looks horrible. They got the recording that talks about people stealing, you know, and things are misplaced. You got the bobby pins over there where the milk is, and I'm just like, you know, it's just in disarray. It seems as though the employees could care less about where things are placed, you know. And then when you ask them for assistance, it's like, you know, I literally asked somebody, could you tell me what such and such is? And she shrugged her shoulders and turned her back to me. And I was completely mortified. Like, okay, so this is what you get when you go into a dollar store. If I had gone someplace else, you know, they would have at least walked me down the aisle, even if they stared at that one particular item for half an hour and told me later on they didn't know. This woman didn't even try. She shrugged her shoulders and turned her back to me. And I was just like, oh, my God. You know, and so this is what I'm paying dollars for. And now you're telling me that you're going to increase. And the items, you know, the ladies are right. It's not even high quality. You know, I'm looking for pine salt. You'll never find it there. They've got pine glow, and it doesn't smell the same. It doesn't clean the same. You know, it's
right.
I'm not buying pine glow when what I'm looking for is pine salt. Give me what I need. You know, if you're not going to get it, then I'll go someplace, and I'll pay a little. I'll go to a Five Below, although I know they don't sell pine salt, but I'll go to a place that costs a little more, because you're going to up the prices anyway. You know, and now you're telling me they're going to be few and far between. You know, I used a lot of their items prior to my wedding. You know, some of the things that I used were helpful. But now you're telling me, you know, for the price of a whole room that you have to do, now I have to pay twice as much? Well, I might as well just go to a higher quality store because I'm not getting it from you.
You know... As with anything else, you know, I look at, I remember when we used to go to the 99 cent store, and now it's the 99 cent plus. I remember when we used to go to the 99 cent store, you can't find nothing for 99 cent no more. You know, long gone those days, and Dollar Tree was the only place you could go that you could get, you know, like you said, if you weren't looking for Pine Glow or Pine Sol, but you were looking for Pine Glow, or, you know, you were looking for something, you know, really cheap, you know, a pack of forks or, you know, something inexpensive, you know, you would go there. And now that everything is no longer a dollar, you need to change that name for real, and then for real. You need to change that name. You know, it's, my thing is, where the black stores at? You know, open up a black store. Y'all start a chain where, you know, and where we can pay better prices for these things. I do clearly understand that the price of things have gone up, especially since COVID. They have lost their minds. So, you know, the Dollar Tree may not be able to provide things for us at a dollar anymore, you know, but now you want to talk about upping your the type of items that you offer, and then you're going to close down the store so we can't even find you. Then my thing is, then where's your value? There's no value in your store anymore. So I don't even know, you know, what you plan on looking like these days. We got a comment from a listener. We need to now start banding together to show our buying power and stop shopping at these stores. And it's true. You know, I agree with you, ladies. I can't tell you the last time I went to Dollar Tree and it looked like something. It's like y'all showing us that ain't nothing in here but a dollar. It is trashy. It is dirty. Stuff is everywhere. Like you said, it's in disarray. And the, oh, no. The lines are long.
Your prices, I ain't putting no stuff out.
It's crazy. The lines are long, always in the back of the store. If you go to a dollar store, a Dollar Tree in the hood, and we're not going to talk about Family Dollar. We're not even going to talk about them. We're not even going to talk about them. They're just horrendous. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but all right, Viv. You got first dibs on President Trump and his God Bless the USA Bible.
That man is desperate, and he is going to any means to make a dollar. He said, that's my favorite book.
Wow.
Using God for clout. That is crazy. The type of person he is, the things that have come out of this man's mouth, and he knew what he was saying. He didn't come back and apologize and say, oh, that's not what I meant, because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And now you want to come and push Bibles? And I know his supporters is going to buy it because they are very loyal to him for some reason. And it is crazy. But he is going to any means necessary to get that money for these lawsuits that he is losing. And it's good to see that it's this bad for him, because hopefully this will now, again, discourage people from voting for this man for another term. Because the last I heard, he was on top. So I'm hoping that this will help push him now to the bottom, because this is crazy. And he's obviously losing these court cases because they're forcing him to pay. So, wow. Wow. This is crazy.
So are you telling me that you're not going to buy the Bible? You just said, oh, that's the same as you didn't buy the Bible?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If it was the last Bible on the earth, I wouldn't support that man. No.
Lady Tamika, he didn't lost Viv. Does he have your $59.99?
Well, I like, you know, you get an E for effort, you know, if we go back to our recollection of things he has done or said. We are talking about the same person that stood there in front of national TV with the Bible completely upside down. But that's your favorite book. Yeah, no, ma'am, I'm not paying $59.99. I'm not paying $5.99. I'm not paying 59 cents. I'm not paying 5 cents. Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting this man because you are literally scrapping at the scene. Whatever it is that I can get, you know, and the sad part about it is some genius, oh, he is going back to God. You have lost your mind.
Oh, my goodness. You Christian ladies, what am I going to do with y'all? Shantae, you got to go out and help the ex-president Trump.
How are you trying to sell me something? Now, last I checked, God was already about the Bible. But how you got a God Bless America Bible, like, that's a selling point? It's already about him. Like, what are you doing? Like, you obviously,
oh,
you ain't read
goodness.
It, bro. Because from the beginning to the end, which you probably couldn't even tell me what the first book of the Bible is, it is all about God. So what are you talking about? The desperation is beyond real. It's now remedial. And it's really sad because it's like all I can see is just like you're just like, go sit down somewhere. Like all of the other, you done had hotels out. You done had all this real estate in your past. You was this mogul and you was this businessman. And this is your next business strategy, to sell a Bible with God as the selling point. If this doesn't let you know that you have fallen, I don't know how much lower you have to get for you to understand. For the people who are supporting him, you're that blinded that you're not seeing that he's trying to sell you water with water as a selling point. It's just like, I don't get it. It's like anything to try to keep yourself relevant. It's all been about money. More than about money. It's also trying to keep myself relevant.
Mm-mm-mm. You know, it's like selling water when water is already free. You know, like you
right.
said, you know, God Bless America Bible. It's like, yo, whatever. You know, I think it's what you all have said. He's just desperate. He's just desperate. And because he knows he will get the buy, he knows he's going to get the sale. You know, people are going to sell. If this means that he will be in office for some people, they'll buy it. Whether they believe in the Bible and they never open it up, they're going to buy it, you know, just to help, you know, him get out of debt, just to help him, you know, if these are his presidential, you know, running dollars, they're going to do it. So, and that's what it's like when people are supporting you. They're going to support you regardless. So, you know, I don't know. Somebody did text me yesterday and tell me, you know, that he's doing this thing. I was like, wow, something else, you know. So we know he's not a man of God. We know that he cares nothing about it. But again, it's almost like what we talked about on, you know, the Tuesday segment, you know, trying to monopolize on things of God when you could care nothing about God. You know, so it's just another way to get a dollar. Another way to get a dollar. Oh, my. All right, MTA will deploy people into the subway system and to track the crackdown, rather, on the fare evaders. Real simply put, is this going to matter? They're putting it on the buses. is this going to matter? You know, putting the uniform cops and the, you know, ununiformed cops in the subway system. Do you think it will change anything? And how long, Vivian, how long are they going to keep them there?
They're doing a pilot program, like the cars. They're going to, for the police officers, they said they're doing it for this month. I guess April, the new month.
I thought it was a limited time. All right, so that really makes me ask. Tamika, Lady Tamika, is this going to make a difference?
In some instances, I can see that it would, especially if you're talking about a plainclothes cop. I find that when you do have the uniform, sometimes it even causes more agitation out there. You know, as someone who rides the bus and someone who rides the train, I can see, you know, it's almost as if the climate of the area becomes a little bit more volatile because they're there. You know, no, they're not going to act up in the car that you're in, but the next car, you know, you look into, you sitting on the train, you look through the window, you're like, are they fighting? You know, or the car, you just left the car that was next to the cop car and they're smoking, you know, and so, or three cars down, you know, so it's almost as if because you're there, you know, now I'm going to act up, you know, now I'm going to act like I have no mind, you know, like I have, you know, like I've lost my mind. I'm going to sit on a train and start yelling and flinging things because they're there. You know, do I feel more comfortable because they're there? No. Do I stand closer to the cop because they're there? No. You know, I do what it is that I do. You know, I travel to where I need to go. And as a New Yorker, I'm always observing. You keep your eyes open. This is not a place or a time where you want to fall asleep.
Okay. Shanti, will these cops in the train station make a difference?
Wait, before she goes, I'm sorry. They said 5 days. They're doing this for 5 days, not a month. 5 days.
No.
They're going to answer right there. They're going to answer. No. No.
Oh,
what are you
going to
do
goodness.
For 5 days? The 5 days is useless because half of them are going to be on their phone. The other half is going to be trying to talk to a female. The other half just ain't going to be paying attention. Like, what? What is the point of the 5 days? So there's only supposed to be crime for 5 days, and after the fifth day, everybody's going to be on their best behavior. Like, everybody's going to pay their fee. Nobody's going to hop the turnstile. Nobody's going to open the door for anyone so that they can just go in without pain. Like, it's only these specific 5 days. It's like, what is the point in this? Just so you can say you did it? Just so you can say, I had police down there policing the turnstiles, but for 5 days. Now, who's policing the police? Because when I used to ride, there were times I was looking, I'm like, are you on duty? It's like, what are y'all doing? They're not as attentive as they should be. So I can see a cop standing right there, whether he's in uniform or just like a civilian. He's standing there and somebody's still hopping the turnstile right in front of him because he ain't paying attention. So how useful are you?
Wow.
No, that.
Wow. All righty. Vivian, will this 5 days, will these 5 days make a difference?
It'll make a difference for what they're really trying to do. First of all, your focus is wrong because you're worrying about fare evaders when the MTA employees are being harmed every day, but people are being pushed and stabbed and killed on the MTA every day. But you're worrying about fare evaders and want to put police down there just for them to watch the turnstiles. Your focus is off. But they're really just trying to get some summons, you know, get some money from these people who are hopping the turnstile so they can ticket them and send them to court and things like that. So it'll work for that. They'll be able to write a lot of summonses and a lot of tickets and things. But as far as ending fare evaders or fare evasion, no, that's not going to work. And then research told me that he spoke to one of the police officers and asked them, like, okay, like, what, like, why, how are you guys down here? Like, why are you guys down here? And he said that this is overtime for them. So they can apply for this to do overtime. So who's really working a full shift and then going to put in maximum effort for their full time, for their overtime shift? You're already worn out. You're already tired. You really don't care. You're just trying to collect that overtime money. And you just want to stand there, collect your money, and go about your business. You ain't really down there to do nothing. So
exactly.
Just another, we don't care. We don't care about y'all. We ain't trying to keep y'all safe. We just going to pretend and put these cops down here to collect some money, and we going to go about our business. And good luck to anybody down there who has to deal with this on a daily basis.
Wow. So here's my thought. My thought is, okay, so you got 5 days that you have these uniformed people and these ununiformed people there. Well, first of all, for the uniformed individuals, you'll only be a deterrent. You're not shading anything because just your presence will keep people from acting up possibly. The ones who are, you know, plain clothes, you may catch a couple people. But my thing is, as has been said, when the 5 days are over, it's business as usual. So it's like, what's the point? If you're not going to do something that's going to help this situation, then what's the point of even doing it? You're going to shave a couple of dollars, you know, by, you know, ticketing people, and you're going to get money that way. But this is like a waste. This is a waste. You're going to be paying overtime. The police department is going to pay overtime to these people. And it's for what? For what? For things to go right back to the way they were before you even got there and not change much while you're there? Nah, I agree. They're just doing this to just say they did it. Because other than that, this is wasted. This is wasted. A complete waste.
And then I wonder if something were to happen, they're standing upstairs at the turnstile. If something were to happen downstairs, right, are you even going to be able or allowed to go down there and help? Or is it going to be like, well, I'm stationed here. You're going to have to call the police. Nigga, you are the police. Like, go down there and help. Like, what are you doing?
Yes. That was my thought. Are you only restricted anything else other than fare evasion? So if there's crime going on, will you help with that? That's why I'm trying. That's why my mind is, this is useless, because if you're not going to do anything but, because first of all, you, with all the crime going on, you need more cops down there anyway. Ununiformed cops. Plain clothes cops. You need this down there. There's too much crime going on for you not to have people in place already. Now, my thought is,
right,
are you saying they're here for crime, for fair evasion, but in actuality, you know, you're really there for something else? So that's my thought. Because I can't get it. I can't get where for 5 days you going to put somebody here just for this issue of fare evasion. Nah. I'm wondering if this is like a what do they call it, a decoy, that they got you thinking that they're there for this and they really there for something else. Because that's not making a whole lot of sense to me. So, I don't know. We'll see. But they definitely need more people down in the train stations anyway, because crime is just crazy. It's crazy down there. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, shout out to our girl, Cicely Tyson. You know, it's funny because, like, Vivian kind of answered. She was like, well, did Cicely Tyson ever act when she was young? Because we ain't never seen her in a young age.
So I guess
never,
that answers
not
the question.
Not even in roots. She was old in roots.
Like, no, wasn't older, yeah. So that answers. You know, I had no idea that she was once a model. So that's interesting to know. But she's definitely made her mark in, you know, on film and screen. And, you know, she's no longer with us. She lived a nice long life. And no one can forget Cicely Tyson. So shout out to the girl. All right, ladies. I got something for you. Thank you, Vivian, and for your socially conscious segment. Thank you, ladies, for participating in that conversation. So, I came across an article this morning, and it was a TikToker. And let me make sure I get my story together. All right, so there's a TikToker who said that she went through her man's phone. She thought he was cheating, and she had 16,200 followers. And she went on TikTok to complain that she went on his phone, through his phone, because she thought he was actually cheating and he wasn't. She found that he was talking to his friend about her, and he stated how unattractive he really feels she is. And she says, I wish I found what I was looking for. I didn't find what I was looking for. Instead, I found the man talking or, you know, blankety blank on me. He told his friend that sometimes I don't think Sawney's pretty. So this is a really big blow to her ego. She's very shocked that he didn't find her pretty. And she's really down about this now. She says, this will be my last time going through a phone. If my intuition ever tells me to check his phone, nope. Guard your heart. Don't do it. Don't make that mistake, and it won't be happening with me again. So, of course, her TikTokers have responded, and some of them have said, honey, the way I would have, I would have never talked to that man again in life. Some women have said, you know, don't worry about it. You're gorgeous. You didn't need him anyway. You don't need him to validate you. So let's talk about this going through the phone thing. Let's talk about that first. So, Lady Tamika, we're going to give you first dibs at this. Going through the phone. Shouldn't we?
Yeah, I would really caution someone from doing that. You know, if you're going to trust your mate, then trust your mate. You know, we as women, we've often said that, you know, we get this indication, okay? So obviously she got the indication. You know, the other thing is that if that is what it is, you're going to find out ultimately anyway, you know? And so when you snoop into his phone, as you can see, she found out something entirely different. And now her emotions are all topsy-turvy because I'm thinking that you're attracted to me. You don't even like the way I look, you know, how mortified she should have been. And she probably would have been all right if she had not known that that's the way he – and also realize that when you're looking through a phone, it's unfiltered. It's not as though, oh, well, I know at any moment she's going to look at my phone or he's going to look at my phone. So anybody that's a snooper, I would definitely caution not to and confirm exactly what she said.
All right. Chantez, do or don't go through the phone.
Well, first, I just want to say it's a sad day when TikTok is your support group. I'm going to put that out there. Do not go through the phone. I once made a career out of going through the phone and everything, email, postal mail, apps, your thoughts. I snuck through everything. Okay, I found a way to tap into everything. And you never get paid the way you should. So cut that career out. Throw that thought into the sea of forgetfulness, because you're always going to find something either extra than what you were initially looking for, or you're going to keep looking until you find, it's like a drug. It's like you're chasing that high. So you'll go in and you'll start looking and you won't find, but you'll keep looking because you ain't find that high yet, because you want to be mad. That's why you're looking. So you're going to keep looking until you find something that gets you mad. Well, now you're not mad, you're sad. This is what you get because you went looking. And he did cheat. This was a female he was talking to?
No, his boy.
Oh, it was one of his boys? Okay, I want to say because he did cheat, despite what everybody wants to say. Okay, yeah, so now you start talking to his boys about how he really feels about you. Because, see, he might lie to a woman because he might be trying to get in her pants. Or I ain't really, you know, she ain't really that good looking, blah, 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 blah. But if he's saying this to his boy, then he really don't find you attractive. So you might as well throw this relationship in the sea of forgetfulness and just don't take that trait into the next relationship. Just forget the snooping and leave it alone, because it's never going to end right.
Okay, okay. Vivian, yes or no? Should you go through the phone?
No, don't do it. Don't do it. You're only going to cause yourself more stress and pain. Like Shanti said, if you find out that he's cheating, now you got to deal with that. If you find out that he's not cheating, but you going to find something else that you don't, you know, care for, and then it's impossible for you not to say something. Oh, you found out that, you know, he ain't cheating, but, you know, maybe he's following some woman that you don't care for, or, you know, doing something else that you don't necessarily care for. It's going to be hard for you not to say anything. Now you looking at him sideways. It's just too much. It's too much. Don't do it to yourself. Because you're going to see what you're looking for, or you going to find something else that's going to make you mad and then have to deal with that. So just don't do it to yourself. If you have a sneaky suspicion, if you have a feeling that he's doing something, most likely it's because of the way that he's moving and you're not happy, then just move on. Just move on.
All righty. Ladies, I got another question before I go into this other part. How bad is it doesn't find you attractive, but he loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you? Shantice.
That's possible. I didn't even know that was possible. I don't see that as being possible. I don't, for a man to not find me attractive, but he wants to be in a relationship, and these men in this day, like we ain't talking back in the 50s or something, you're talking about now in the 2000s of the 24s, nah, I don't see that being possible, because everything is about appeal. Everything is about appeal. You could be, he could really feel like you're gorgeous and yet still have his eyes somewhere else. Whether gorgeous physically, gorgeous in your personality, gorgeous, and still there's a chance that he finds you. So I'm finding it hard to believe that you could look at me and be like, I don't really think Chanty's look all that good, but I want to be with her. Mm. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Okay, okay. Vivian, he loves you. He wants to be with you, but he just doesn't find you physically. He doesn't find you to be pretty. That's exactly what he said in to his boys. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. it depends on what it is exactly. At least for me, I don't really know what's in a man's head, but for me, I didn't find certain people attractive because of the way that they carry themselves and things like that. But then, you know, you can fix certain things about yourself. Now, if it's something that you can't fix, and that's the reason why he finds you unattractive, then I don't think it can work, because he's always going to be looking at that. It's always going to bother him. And as much as he tries to ignore it, he just can't. But if it's something that you can fix, like it, maybe if it's the way you dress, or, you know, do your hair or your makeup or something like that, maybe it can work. But if it's like you just ugly, then I think eventually it's going to come to an end.
Okay. Tamika, what's your thought? Do you think a man can love you, want to be with you, but simply not find you pretty?
All right, so I'm just thinking about the whole idea. When we first engage in trying to get attached to somebody, the first thing that literally comes about is the way that they look. So you're telling me the first time that you saw me, you weren't even attracted to me. Oh, maybe you like my laugh. Maybe you like my personality. But to me, that's a friendship. You know, I've got plenty of friends I'm not attracted to at all, you know, but we are friends, you know, and I love them as my friend. Would I go in and engage at that point to marry them? No, because you think about part of the courtship of marriage is intercourse. I don't find you attractive. Certainly not doing that, you know. And so prior to her, you know, getting 9 times out of 10, they're probably not that active. You know, she might be fine with it. But, you know, when you find out, okay, why you're not that, why you're not that active, and you find out that the reason why is not that he has an issue with his body or anything like that, is that he's not attracted to you, it might be okay for her now, but it's going to affect her later. You know, and so, you know, I can't see me, you know, saying yes and going all the way, you know, standing before God and man and everybody saying, okay, this is the person that I'm pledging to be with. Because I know that at some time I'm going to look at you and go, ew, you know, am I by? You can only hide that so much. You can only put up the facade for a while. Eventually something's going to happen. You're either going to say something, a cross statement, or you're going to look at them and you look sideways. You go, what in the world? Did I do, you know, why did I do that? You know, we have all had those oops moments, or we get out of the relationship and, whoo, glad I didn't do that, you know. And so now, you know, that next step would be, you know, marriage. And so, no, I don't visualize that at all.
All righty. Interesting. Ladies, following up about from that particular find in the phone, there are some things that men say to their boys that women don't necessarily know about. So here are some of the things, and I'd love to hear what you feel. One of the things they say to their boys: she wants all my time to be like her less. Vivian.
How do I feel? I can see them saying that. I can see them saying that when you're being too clingy, you're being, you know, too crazy to... We spoke about it on episode 4, the pick me girl, and, you know, the men chimed in and said, like, yeah, we're not into that. I could see that bothering him, and I think it's an easy fix, like, just get a life. Just do something, find a hobby, and, you know, give him his space. But I could definitely see them saying that to their boys.
All righty. Shantice, she wants all my time, and it makes me like her less.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Okay, wait, wait. There you go. There you go. There you go. All right.
Okay.
What say you?
Why are we on the phone like little girls? And that's one of the things with men. Like, they won't really express how they really feel to whoever they're dating or who they're with, whatever. But you're going run and tell your boy that. So what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to go now and call her and let her know how you really feel? But I've heard of men doing that. And that was my question then. Like, so what is he supposed to do about it? Is he supposed to coach her on how much time to spend around you? Because he just knows how much you don't want to be smothered. Like, that's just pointless.
All righty, all righty. Next thing they say, she won't shut up. Get a mind. Will she ever be quiet? Shanti.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything you said.
Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Oh, God. All right. He says, she won't shut up. I need some peace and quiet.
So break out with her. I don't understand. So the question is, what do I feel about men saying that to their friends?
About you, about women, yes.
I don't see the point in that. What is the friend supposed to do? So why not just tell her, okay, babe, you talk a little too much, or, you know, can you not gossip so much, or whatever it is that you feel like she just keeps getting on. What is the point there? What is the friend supposed to do? Is he supposed to be able to explain to you why she's talking so much? Because you don't want to hear her talk a lot, but you'll go and talk your friend's ear off about how much she's talking.
Okay. Vivian. She won't shut up. Can I get a peace of mind?
Again, that's something I can see men talking to their boys about. And again, I say it's an easy fix. I think that I don't see it any different as when women call their girls to talk about whatever. So I don't see why he wouldn't be able to, or why is that, like, something wrong? Like, okay, like, yo, am I looking at this right? Like, what do? I spoke to her, whatever the case may be. And, like, just going to your boy for support. Like, we do it all the time as women, and I don't see why a man wouldn't be able to do the same. Like, hey, you know, she driving me crazy. I love her, but she just talks too much. Like, we can't be breaking up with people for any little thing like this. That's not the solution. How do you get to a decent relationship? How do you get to marriage and things if she talks too much, it's over. She ugly, it's over. She's this, it's over. Like, that's too much. So I can see him talking to his boys about this and you know, trying to figure some things out, and I think that it's an easy fix. You know, you talk to her about it and try to come up with a solution. Again, I say get a life. Get some friends for the woman. You don't want to hear it all the time. He don't want to be that sounding board for you. He needs a break. Find somebody else to talk to.
Well, it's funny you said that, which is why that was my response, Vivian, because when Shantiz was saying that, I'm saying to myself, well, what is he not supposed to talk to anybody? I mean, we do it all the time.
Is it that he's only talking to his friend, or is this something he's sharing with her as well? Because I don't agree with when women do it. So is it that me as a man, I'm talking to my boy about something that I've expressed to her, or is it me as a man, I have this woman
and I'm just sharing with him how I feel, but I'm not talking to her about it.
Well, I don't know.
I would
how
say
would I
either
know?
Way, right.
Right.
I would say
well,
either
I
way.
Like,
I would say either way. He can go to his boy first to get advice and support. Like, oh, how do I deal with this? Or, you know, how do I move forward with this? You know, but if that's where it ends, then yes, of course there's a problem. But you can go to your boy
right,
first,
right?
And you know, maybe you want to know if I'm looking at this right. Is it just me? Whatever the case may be, and then
oh,
take it to her.
Anything.
I can see what you're saying with that.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about it ending. My thing was, I'm thinking it's coming from the perspective of, I'm just talking to my boy about this, but I don't share this with her. That's why that was my response. Okay, so what is he supposed to do? If I take this to my woman, and I'm saying this to her, and it's like she's not computing, because I can clearly see that happening, because I know of instances where that's happened, and now I'm talking to my boy. Okay, or I didn't hear this as maybe like an advice, like, okay, you know what, she talks too much. The look thing, I think that's something completely different. But something like, okay, she talks too much, da da da. How should I approach her with this? I didn't really hear that coming as like, give me some advice on how. It came across more as just, this is just how I really feel. And in that case, to me, it's like, so what is he supposed to do? The same way I would say to a woman. Well, did you talk to your man about this? Or are you asking me how should you talk to him about this? Or do you just want to come on the phone and just talk to me about how your man just talked too much? So now you're talking my ear off about how your man just talked too much, but you're never sharing this with him, which means I'm always going to be the sounding board. So now you're ending up doing the same thing you are complaining that he's doing.
Well, we always want to advise people to make sure you communicate with your partner. You know, that's something that we always talk about. You know, it's like you said, it's a mute point if you're only talking to somebody else. I don't care, even if it's your pastor. If you're only talking to your pastor about it,
mm-hmm.
and you're not talking, you know, to your partner about it, if you're talking to the wall about it and you're not talking to your partner about it, it's a mute point. You need to get a life and make sure, you know, you talk and communicate this thing to your partner, regardless of, you know, what it is, whether it's, you know, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about you ain't pretty, but, you know, the two things we just got finished talking about, you know, I need a peace of mind, can you please shut up, you know, or the other thing was, you know, she wants all my time. Those are the things you definitely want to talk to your partner about. Our lady Tamika, you know, we have where, you know, the second thing we have is he's saying she won't shut up. I need some peace of mind. You know, that's what he talks to his boy about. How do you feel about that?
I've seen instances where plenty of relationships have issues because literally just that. She talks so much. She talks so much until she's in a room by herself. He's in another room, and she's literally still talking, you know. And that can be annoying. You know, we have often talked about men, you know, they have a tendency. You ask them a question, you know, don't ask a series of questions. You know, I ask you one question, you can answer. If I ask you three questions in succession, you get mind blocked. So, you know, your brain just freezes, you know. And so we're talking about a woman who is talking. It drives him. You know, and as I'm talking, I'm listening to myself right now, and I'm going, oh, God, you know, can you imagine, you know, him hearing that over and over and over, and it can become, you know, annoying, you know, and so I think at times when we do, you know, sometimes we do have to give them a break because, you know, they'll tell you, listen, I just got these thoughts on my mind, you know. I find it kind of ironic because I was talking to Al about something that I had read, you know, and as women, we're always thinking. There's always something on our mind. If you literally catch us in the middle of the day, we can give you at least three things that are on our mind. You know, for a man, it's acceptable to literally think of nothing. We went in through, we must have talked about a half an hour about that. Like, How do you not think about it, anything? So if I'm asking you what's on your mind and you say nothing, you know, to me, I'm like, no, you got to be thinking of something, you know. And for men, it's acceptable. It is a learning lesson that I am learning. And we as women have to understand that at times I don't want to hear any noise. You know, I just want to watch my game and think of nothing. You know, food, what was the conversation? It was food, intimacy, some type of recreation, whether it's a television or a Game Boy, and nothing. And I was like, that's all you guys think about? That's literally it. He actually agreed, and I was completely dumbfounded.
Okay. Well, Vivian, we're going to give you this one on your way out the door. She wants me to talk about my emotions. Say you. He's complaining about that.
I could see that being a complaint. And hopefully you have the right type of boys in your life that's going to encourage you to get some healing and some help. Because you should be able to. You should be not able to, as in she allows you to, but you should be able to talk about and express your emotions. Because you need to. That's the problem now, that we can say, you know, oh, you're on the phone like a girl. It shouldn't be that way. He should be able to express himself. He should be able to talk about his emotions. He should be able to communicate how he's feeling and what's bothering him. So if that is a complaint of yours, hopefully you have somebody that's going to encourage you to get yourself some help, because, again, that's something that needs to be done. You're going through too much as a man alone in this world, and you should be able to thoroughly express how you're feeling. Maybe it doesn't have to be, you know, all the time. Like, oh, she wants me to talk about it every day, and I just don't want to. But if it's just that you don't want to talk about it, period, then you got to get that together, because it's not healthy. Mentally, it's not healthy. Emotionally, it's not healthy. Spiritually, it's not healthy. So you got to get that together.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. All right, Lady Tamika. You know, he says he complains, you know, to his boy that you want him to talk about his emotions all the time. Kind of goes with what you were just talking about.
Right. And in a lot of instances, that is a struggle for men. They know how they feel, but to actually verbalize becomes a hardship. And we, as the women that are around them, and I'm not just talking about intimacy, meaning relationship. You know, if that's your brother, if that's your child, if that's your sibling, it is our responsibility. It is our God-given job to open them up to that, because when they get into that relationship with that woman, you know, that's gonna be something that she's gonna say, "Honey, what's on your mind?" Nothing. I know you're feeling something. You hear, you can see the expression. You can see the body language. You can see him rolling his eyes. You automatically know that there's an emotion there, but he has a hard time verbalizing, you know. And so I think that, you know, at times, it doesn't mean that I got to ask you every day. But every now and then, hey, what you thinking about, you know. And then understand that at times when he does say nothing, and I'm not, you know, It has to be a nothing thing. You know, if you're seeing body language and he got an attitude and he says nothing, you know that's not a nothing. But understand that when he does say nothing at times and it looks like nothing, and that's another reason why we need to start paying attention to body language and expressions, because sometimes he may not be able to verbalize audibly how he's feeling, but expressing it in his body language, that may be something that he might do. And so sometimes we have to read into the cues. And hopefully that when you're reading in, you're reading the right cues. You know, get to know the person that you're involved with. If it's a sibling, you know, you were brought up with him all his life. So when he does that expression or when he acts that way, then you know, okay, you can identify, well, this is how he's feeling.
Okay. Shantice, he complains that she always wants him to talk about his emotions. But that's not what he wants to do.
I've learned that a lot of men are very selective as to who they want
to show their emotions to. So if you have a woman and you're complaining that she cares enough to want to know how you feel, like, it ain't got to do nothing. It doesn't have to have anything to do with her. She could be really concerned about how she's noticing that you may be holding some stuff in, and that could be detrimental to you before she could even think about how that could mess y'all up in a relationship. But you will either choose not to express it at all, or what I'm finding a lot of is, for whatever reason, you don't want to talk to her. And we're not talking about the nagging, annoying women. We're talking about the women who just really notice this, and they're, you know, being careful about how often they ask you, how often they talk to you. And you'll choose to talk to your boys or other people who cannot help you, and you won't share your emotions with the person who would really care to take the time to learn how to help you. So while you're complaining, are you paying attention to the fact that my woman, who I'm choosing to spend time with and link myself to, can be the very person who could help me? That could be the ear who needs to hear how I'm really feeling about whatever. As it was said, as a man, especially a black man, you're going through a lot. So can I unload on her? If you can't, then you might be in the wrong relationship. But I'm really seeing how there's a lot of this selective who I share with. And 9 times out of 10, and I'm watching this, I'm watching men choose to unload on people, and it is 100% useless. But because they don't really want the correction, they are not choosing to share their emotions with the people who can really help. So it's like, at the end of the day, what are you really complaining about?
Okay. Well, we got one more before you ladies go. Oh, she doesn't want me. She doesn't want me. Lady Tamika.
So why would you stick around if somebody doesn't want you? You know, that's a hardship. You know, is it because, you know, to have something, a piece of something, is better than nothing? You know, you often hear, you know, women say that, you know, you're miserable and, you know, your relationship is loveless, and, but, you know, I got somebody. So, you know, I get up in the morning, I see him. When I come home, I see him, you know, but he doesn't love me. He's not, you know, intimate. You know, I don't understand that ideal. You know, it just doesn't work for me, you know. And if there's a problem, you need to verbalize, you know. Don't just sit there and sulk, or, you know, go through the motions. Find out what the issue, go down to the heart of where the issue or the concern, you know, lies. Okay. Shanti, he's complaining that she doesn't want him.
I mean, with this, with you being able to share this with your friends, it goes back to when Vivian said, you know, I hope you have the right friends around you, because certain things need to automatically be addressed. You know how, like, a lot of people, whether it's man or woman, they just want to be able to talk, and there are times where, as a friend, that's all you, this phone call may require. I just sit here and listen. Then there's other things where I might have to ask a question or two, because I can't just let you say this and hang up, because then now what? On, you know, for you. And when you're telling your friend, okay, she doesn't want me, or she doesn't want to be with me, like, now what is the next step after that? And that's where, you know, as a man, you have to make sure that you're confiding in the right people, because you don't need to tell that to your boy, and now next thing you look up, your boy got you at the strip club or got you at the underground spot. Well, your girl don't want you no way. So, because I know men who have friends like that. oh, your girl don't want you, she ain't feeling you, all right, so we going here, we going to slide up in that, we going to go do the, and it's like, no, that is not the remedy. So, you again, men really have to make sure they're confiding in the right ones, because your friends will have you doing some other stuff, and yet you'll still have this problem later that she don't want you.
Mm. Wow. All right, ladies. Oh, thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You too. Hmm. So, let's go before the Lord. Holding hands and holding hearts. You know how we do. Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We thank you for a wow Wednesday. We thank you for a Wednesday that we have never seen before, and a Wednesday that we will never see again. God, we thank you for just ushering us into the middle of the week, God, where we can just take a breath of fresh air. We're not struggling to get through the week. It's not a hump week for us because we've left this day in your hands. We have allowed you to wake us up, and we have allowed you to navigate the day. We're not going to do what we want to do without consulting you first. So, God, we thank you for just setting us on our path for today. You're giving us an opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to think about ourselves. You're giving us an opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to think about our partner or about the other person. And maybe we didn't wake up with that intent. Maybe we woke up with the intent, you know, woe is me, and what do I need, and how do I work this out? But God, you just rerouted the thought process. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you know best. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you know it all. And while we're just wondering what do we do, you've already given us the answer, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray that as the ladies have spoken, that they have touched the mind, they have touched the heart, and they have touched the spirit. Because the words that were given strictly from you, God. Thank you. Thank you for making us aware of some things that we didn't even consider. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just reminding us of some things. Thank you for the introduction today. We trust you, God, in all our relationships, in every one of our relationships, God, we trust you. We don't know, dear Heavenly Father, whether this was for a friendship where we're learning how to be better friends. We don't know if this is for a partner where we may not be paying attention to some things that we need to keep our eyes and ears open for. But again, God, we give you the glory and the honor because this is your opportunity to just make the presentation. And we pray to Heavenly Father that we all make it applicable according to our personal situation, that we understand how you're speaking to us today, that you're not saying the same thing to everybody. So we thank you, God, that you can pay attention to each and every one of us at the same time, and none of us will feel robbed. Thank you, Father, for keeping your finger on the pulse of our life, that your word says you don't want any of us to perish. So if you got to go through the motions of giving us these little tidbits each and every day and teach us how to apply it, we give you the glory and the honor, dear God, for all the things that you do for us each and every day. Thank you for the breath.
Thank you for keeping us in our right frame of mind so that we would understand exactly what you're talking about. And God, if we don't, we ask for you to just lay it out plain and simple so that we get it, so that you can be glorified in everything that's done in our life. We pray, God, that you just take us safely through the rest of the day and that we continue to focus on you. We continue to just rely on you so you can tell us what to do and we won't be on our own pathway, but it is your will and your way that we're focusing on. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I thought about the fact that, you know, we as women, you know, we get on the phone and we talk and, you know, we reach out to our girls, you know, when we got a dilemma and we reach out. When we're perplexed and we reach out, when we just need someone to talk to. And as quiet as it's kept, men need that same thing. You know, all this bravado prevents them from acting normal. For them just being honest and revealing that they need as well. We're not the only ones that need. And the fact of the matter is that they do talk about these things. They do talk about the fact that, you know, we just talk too much and they need a peace of mind. We just nag at times, or at least that's the way it's coming across. You know, they talk about the fact that, yo, man, you know, I'm doing everything that I can do, but, you know, she don't want me. Why? We ask that question to our girls all the time. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, it's her who wants all the time. You know, she won't give me a chance to breathe, yo. You know, they need an outlet. And again, you know, we're praying that, you know, they're finding the right people to go to. Because it's very easy, even for us women, it's very easy to find the wrong individuals to speak to. You know, you have to admit that you're selective with wherever you go to talk about these things. So the person that you go to talk about one thing very well may not be the thing, you know, that you talk to the next person about. You know, we pick and choose who, you know, we want to talk about. What we want to talk about to who, rather. And, you know, it can be pretty tricky because sometimes you can't talk to, you know, one person about everything. And you want to make sure you keep yourself around people who are godly at the end of the day. Because when you don't, you definitely run the risk of talking to the wrong person. Like Shanti said, before you know it, you sitting up in the strip club talking about how we get here. So you definitely want to just do what God says to do. Seek God's advice in everything you do before you make that phone call. Pray about it. Ask God, who am I talking to today? Don't just pick up a phone. Because trust me when I tell you, a lot of times people go down the wrong road when you don't talk to the right person. And men need as well. And then don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be, you know, reluctant to just say that you need to talk. Because when you don't, you end up behind the eight ball. One thing about women, they do talk. And sometimes we talk a little too much. which is what you complain about. And maybe you're not the person to talk to about that. And, you know, for some women, it's a little hard to believe that that man is not who you're supposed to take everything to. You know, some people feel like I'm married now or I'm with so-and-so and they're supposed to get everything. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they're not ready for everything. Got to give them some time. You know, this ready-made person is not realistic. Everybody can't handle everything. And I think a lot of times we put too much on people because we have a certain level of expectation for them, and they're not there yet. That's why you need to go to the Lord, and God will definitely guide you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the ladies, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God says, where the therapeutic Thursday. Until then, I love you.